we on? Okay, good. Couple of things that I would just share with you about what's taken place here recently. One is the Jewish people now have a chip in their body, and all the people have their medical information available to anyone, everybody that can get a hold of the information on that chip through any of the medical devices that they have. So everybody has that. Now, that sounds good if you're a medical doctor and you're honest and you really want to treat everybody and take good care of them, but it also gives the government control. The other thing is I have had an association with the American Bible Society for a number of years, and used to have a Texas branch of the American Bible Society that I was asked to assist, and so I've kept up with it, and I'm amazed sometimes at their report. Okay. Good. Okay. Well, with the American Bible Society, they now have given Bibles to the Umbangala tribe or people, 700,000 people that are now have a Bible in their own language. They've been reading Kokwe, which is a neighboring organization. So anyway, the interesting thing about the American Bible Society is that, in my view, they don't ask for a lot of money. They need it, and they spend a lot of it, but they ask everybody to give $5, $10, $15. And what happens is, I think, with their efforts to collect funds, is people say, well, yeah, I can spare $5. So they get a lot more people participating in it. And anyway, I thought it was interesting that, because I have a young man I used to babysit that is one of the interpreters for the translators. So, anyway, one of the things that I've kept up with. Let's go to the prayer requests. I noticed Terrell has changed the sign out front, and he's got a new sign out there. God's preparing a place for you, and now he's preparing you. And I told him when I walked in this evening, I said, I think that's the title of our message tonight. He's preparing a place for us, and he's working on us too. So anyway, but what I really said, what I really put on the paper was, is, are you ready? Are you ready to imitate Christ? Are you really ready to teach? Are you ready to mentor? Are you ready to counsel? Are you ready to be the person that God intended for you to be? And I want to preface all this with, you know, we're really looking at a God that watches over us, and he's working at all times. We don't always see it, and we don't think about it a lot of times, but he's working all the time through people sometimes that are evil in their character, and he uses those people to his advantage. So when I go through what's taken place now, you know, if we think about it, we really don't know what's going to happen. Don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We have no idea, but of course God does, but we don't have any idea what's going to happen tomorrow to us. And so, just as an idea about some of the things that could happen, and to let you know, there's a lot of things going on in this world that we could become very, very scared about, and they may happen. They just flat may happen. Who would have thought that Netanyahu would allow the control that these chips in the body will give people with evil intent. So, anyway, some of the things that are going on, and maybe some of you don't hear, but we're rewriting the terms of the Constitution in the Supreme Court. We're rewriting the laws. We're rewriting the meaning of the words. You all know they changed woman to man or man to woman, something there. Anyway, it's not, we've got Supreme Court justice that doesn't know the difference or doesn't know what she is. And we're changing the affirmative action laws are coming down the pike. Looks like they will change that. They're going to install the military draft because Biden needs people in his military. We've got families who, if you read the Epoch News, we've got families where the children don't pay any attention to father. We've got Epoch News saying, here, you need to be prepared. If you need to be prepared, you need to have a bag that you get, just grab and go. And we have that, I guess, in our car, but we need to be prepared because there may be a disaster that takes over or something that happens in our town. Maybe the tornado or community is wiped out. Epoch News also says there's a decline in university capabilities, decline in the number of people coming, decline in the morality of what they teach, decline, and so, you know, and then, of course, fathers are left and mothers are left, and they're talking about fathers and mothers that can't even talk to their kids. We know people, we have family friends and good friends who are good Christian friends who can't even talk to or see their grandbaby because the wife of their son won't let them. We have family members in the family that won't let dad see or their own fathers visit the grandchildren. So on and on, got a lot of these problems that come, and all of these things could be a problem for us and could occur tomorrow. Could be that tomorrow, you see, there is a case before the Supreme Court right now to do away with religious institutions, ability of the post office to attend church, and Biden has said in no uncertain terms he wants to close the churches. So this is what we kind of look at, and you know, I don't know about you, but I don't have power to change that. I don't have power to step up and say, no, that's not right, even though I know that what's going on is illegal, unconstitutional. So are we ready? Are we ready for what might happen? If they put me in jail, am I ready? Because I'm speaking here tonight and I'm saying things that may be dissatisfactory to the government. They could, I guess, the way they're going, because they have put some pastors in jail for what they were saying. not about Christ yet, but they have put people in jail for that. They have the January 6th, what is that, 2 years plus ago? So Grandma, who went in to see what her government house was like, has spent 2 years in plus in jail in Washington, D.C. So are we ready? And then it's kind of interesting because, you know, Generation X, probably the worst young set of young people in the history of America, because they have no interest in the Bible and no interest in anything relative to what would be moral and right and meat and property. And that generation is the exact one that started the revival in Asbury University. And it's gone on, still going on. Not the same as it was when it first started. Because, you see, the university wasn't prepared. They weren't ready. They weren't ready for what? How in the world would you ever figure that Generation X is going to start a revival? How in the world could you ever be prepared for that to happen? How in the world could this church then be prepared that 200 people would come through the door and might want to hear about Jesus Christ? Can we say we might think that's just a little bit ridiculous? And yet, you see, Generation X now has got universities in California, the worst state for the morality, having revivals in their universities. Well, they weren't, you see, they weren't prepared for them to carry that on into the next day and the next day and the next day. They weren't prepared to facilitate that many people coming in, so they had to put guards on the door and understand, let so many people in at a time, so if seven left, seven got in, and they had to leave a few extra seats vacant so that they could go in if they needed to, and they weren't ready, weren't prepared. They weren't prepared, you see, to mentor new Christians. Oh boy. Oh boy. Are we prepared to mentor the new Christians if they come here? They weren't prepared to deal with the onlookers. The people that wanted to come just see what the show was all about. They weren't prepared for that. They weren't prepared for the use of the space. They weren't prepared to verify if the revival was real or not, or was it a hoax. They weren't prepared. But pastors from other cities did go, and they tried to go to verify that the revival was real. That those Generation X people were sincere. So they tried to stay in the motel. Uh-oh. You see, the motels weren't ready. They weren't ready for the crowd. They weren't ready for the food that they needed for those kind of people. They sent them 30 miles away to go have a rest. They weren't ready. So are we ready? Are we ready? Are we ready for what might come? Are we ready to be put in jail? Are we ready? Are we ready? Let's consider just, I kind of run down some things that might suggest we're ready. And so one of the first things that I think about when you might suggest we're ready is well, we gotta check John 3:16. We got to buy that. We've got to buy that. We've got to, you see, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, we got to do that, or else there's no sense going any further at all. And so, we studied what it is to be saved, and we determined that salvation was to be saved from the guilt of sin, and to be saved from the propensity to commit sin, and ultimately to be saved to the heaven with Christ. Well, let's turn to Mark 11:17. Mark 11:17. Just one verse, and you can turn there if you want to. Mark 11:17. And he taught me, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all the nations the house of prayer, but we may have made it a den of thieves? Well, you all are here, so I think we can say pretty well, those of us that are participating tonight, looks like maybe that's a test that we would qualify for. Well, what if the men are doing the prayer meeting? Well, what about last time we talked about, are you holy? Are you holy? And so turn to, and this is the same verse as we had last time, 1 Peter 1:13 through 16. Wherefore, gird up your loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, but as he who has called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, Be ye holy, for I am holy. And see, we determined last time that's to be set aside to God, set aside for God, set aside from evil, and to be set aside ultimately to Christ, to be committed. Well, what about some of the extras that I talked about last time? Colossians 1:20 through 22. And I have made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself by him. I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in the heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. So as kind of an extra, actually add on to being holy, we considered you got to be reconciled. Are we ready? Well, are we ready? Turn to John 4:21 through 24. John 4:21 through 24. Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is Spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Well, we come, we're here, and we come to the church to worship, and we come on Sundays to worship. So, at least we are making an effort, I guess, to be ready. Excuse me, but second, now we get some new material here a little bit, I guess, but 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21. 2 Corinthians 5, 20 through 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in church Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness of God. So, we are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for God, for Christ. Now turn to Acts 1, Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. Acts 1, verse 8. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be a witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So we're witnesses. Are we witnesses? Are we ready? Are we ready to be witnesses? Turn to John 15, 8 through 11. John 15, 8 through 11. John 15, 8 through 11. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. Here we are disciples. Are we disciples? Are we followers? Do we fit? Are we there? Turn to Matthew 28. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Matthew 8, or Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So, I think when we look at this, I think we can say, you know, those people here are doing this because the commission is to go into all the world, and even though we're not actually going to Van Gallo, we are sending a dollar or two to the missionaries that are doing the Bible. So, are we really ready? Are we really ready? Are we really ready? So, what are we supposed to be ready to do? Because, see, we don't really know what's coming. We could, you see, plan a revival here. You know, a revival in this church. We could plan it. Billy Graham did that, you know. He planned a revival out in California. And a guy that you all know is John Wayne went and heard him once and thought he was a pretty good dude. And so he sent some of his fellow people to go listen to him and build up a crowd. And that's kind of the start of Billy Graham. But you see, as much as John Wayne could send people to the revival, as much as we can open a revival here in this church and say we're going to have a revival, we can't make people accept Christ. We can't make people come to the revival. We can't, I mean, John Wayne maybe could get a few people to go hear Billy Graham, but you see, we can't make people do it. We can't make people accept Christ. We can teach them and preach to them and pray to them, and we can do that. But without the Holy Spirit moving them, we're not going to get anywhere. Without the Holy Spirit causing them to come to this revival here, what we do is not going to do that. The Holy Spirit's the one that's going to have to move them to come. We can set it up. So are we ready? But to the Asbury University, you see, this was, even though they'd had revivals there before, this was all new. They hadn't thought about a mentor. Oh, a mentor. A counselor. Are we prepared to mentor those people that are becoming Christian? Are we prepared to mentor those people that are? What does the Bible say about mentors? What does the Bible say about counselors? What does the Bible say about encouragement? Not much. Unless you see, you say that God's teaching was that. Which it is. But what about being a mentor? What about actually, you see, when the doctors graduate from medical school, they're taught medicine. Not how to practice medicine. And they're given mentors that work with them on that. Lawyers in the law office, they don't know how to practice law. If you've read the Social Security Act and read it all the way through, you're one of the few lawyers that's practiced Social Security law that I know that has done it. If you read air law, just the law that has to do with the airport out here, if you read that, the textbook on that was 1,100 pages. That's the textbook. That's not the statutes. And if you've read them all and you practice air law, you'll be the only one I know that's done all that. So we need mentors. Accountants need mentors. Builders need mentors. There's no builder out here building houses that hadn't been mentored by somebody that has done it before. There's nobody that's a bricklayer that hasn't been mentored and trained by somebody that's done it. What about we Christians? You see, Asbury found out that those people that were in the revival needed mentors to mentor them through the process of what they were going through. Well, but it doesn't talk about mentors in the Bible. You see, it talks about fellowship, servant, priest, counselors. Oh, but that counselor, you see, isn't a counselor like that counselor's one. That's counselor Jesus. That's the Jesus. That's when they talk about counselor, they're talking about him. They're not talking about you and me. They talk about the family, and Epoch Times has this article in here about how the family has destroyed this country because fathers aren't doing their job. So we talk about fellowship, leadership, lordship, apostleship, being holy. But see, all of that has to do with what? Teaching and preaching. Most all of that does. There's a few verses that talk about mentoring. There's a few verses that talk about, what is it, Acts 4 or something, that says, do good. Do good. Well, Christ wants us to do good. So I want to talk a minute, just a second, about mentoring. My son-in-law, Andy Johnson, went camping last week with 9 boys. 9 boys who are juniors and seniors in high school. His church organized this group 9 years ago. 9 years ago, Andy signed up to meet with these 9 boys every week till they graduated from high school. They're about to graduate. Now, some of the boys have dads that have abused moms. Some of them have had some that have committed crime. He's lost some boys and gained some, but over the years, now for 9 years, he's met with them every week, at least 3 weeks a month for sure, and he took them camping, 9 of them, and one of them was disabled in a wheelchair. He went all by himself because he couldn't get the fathers or anybody else to go. Those boys are not all Christian, even after 9 years. Oh, Andy's working on them. He's working on them. But you see, Daddy beats the living crud out of Mama and destroys the boy's attitude that you ought to honor your dad. So it's really difficult for that boy to think he's going to be some Christian guy. And then I look back at the Bible. And all of a sudden it dawns on me that Christ had 12 boys, 12 guys. He went camping with them. He even cooked fish for them. And all of a sudden, I see a picture of imitating Christ. It's staying with, and you see, the University of Asbury is finding this out. Those people that have attended the revival have got questions. They've got questions about whether to stay in the school and continue the education they were starting, or whether they ought to go to a Christian school that teaches them to be a pastor. Or they've got questions about whether they really are a Christian or not. Or whether God really does save them. You see, now this church doesn't have the problems because most of our members that come to this church are transfers. And most of those people have bought into the program or they have not. And if we make them members, we check them to make sure that they at least believe some of these things that I've gone through. But are we ready? Because you see, if they start putting people in jail, if they start doing some of these things, are we ready to mentor those people that need to hear the gospel? But not only this, they need advice on the hard problems. You see, mentors take care of two different things. Mentors, it doesn't say that in the Bible, it's just what mentors do. They show you how to do it, number one. Or two, they help you with the dilemmas. The danged if you do and danged if you don't situation. Those situations that have to be resolved. Mentors help people resolve the day-to-day problem. So you see, Andy can work with this boy and try to get him to accept his father as he is, despite the fact that he's not a good dude, because that's what the Bible says. That's tough. He can work with it. He can't make it happen. Now we got the Holy Spirit's got to move in this guy. Holy Spirit's got to move in this guy. Are we ready? Are we ready to be a mentor, a counselor? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the blessings of life. Thank you for being our God and our Father. And thank you for the ideas and information that you put in our minds as we read and study your word. We pray, Father, that you guide us and lead us in everything that we do, that you help us to be a mentor to those people that need a mentor, and those people that need counseling, they would help us to share your word in such a way that we encourage people to do what's right, even if they rejecting to doing what they ought to do and accept Christ Jesus. We pray, Father, that you give us the wisdom to work with those people that need to hear your word, need to hear wisdom and guidance. It all comes, the good wisdom all comes from you, Father. And so if we give these people an answer that follows your will or your guidelines or your lessons in the Bible, even though they haven't accepted Christ, or even though they haven't, and we cause them to make changes in their life, those changes might be the very thing that precipitates the Holy Spirit moving in their life. And we pray that the Holy Spirit moves in each of our lives and leads us to do what we should be doing and guide those people that need to hear your word. And we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake.